your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live from the phantom shores of the Hudson River, the ghostly shores of the Hudson. My name is Ra, and I am here to awaken the dormant particles spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. This is Spiral Radio, the mystical spiral radio where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. It's a waxing crescent Aquarius moon, and I am here on the ghostly shores of the Hudson River, and this is Para-X Radio Network, and this is Spiral Radio, where each and every week we have our fingers on the pulse of all of the paranormal activity happening within our shamanic universe. And tonight I am your guest, and these are the Fae Chronicles, and this is Fallen Angel Friday. And, you know, I plan on sharing with you a lot of experiences and information and intel that's in this holographic astral universe. And we have a show on Para-X Radio Network, also called Radio Wasteland, which is on terrestrial radio, and it also airs here on Para-X Radio. And I just did 45 minutes with them right before this show. I just did, I think it will be airing on Para-X coming up this week, and it was all about the astral realms. And I figured tonight would be a good opportunity to continue my Fae Chronicles and how this all gets tied in with these astral realm and with this holographic universe. You see, these Fae entities, there are both benevolent and malevolent entities of all types of beings in this holographic universe, and people can even call them, if you want to label it, artificial intelligence, or if you want to label it whatever you want to label it, it's fine with me. But there is a place we can go within ourselves. The misconception sometimes, people think you have to leave your body to experience other planes of existence, and the thing is that you can go within yourself to experience these realms. And in fact, anything to exist on this physical plane first existed as a thought, or as a coding, if you want to put it, on this astral realm, on these planes of existence. Because the technology that we use on these planes is in gestures, thoughts, postures, colors, codes, symbols. This is what activates things on these planes, and it directly affects our world. But to pull in information from this astral universe, this holographic universe, to get to the center point of this holographic universe. Some call it the cosmic tree. Now, we all have this within ourselves. People think that, is it a set thing? Is everybody experience the same thing when they go into these realms? No. In fact, they don't. The thing is, these astral realms, there's a big misconception about all this. Everybody has them within their self. As deep and as dark as the dirtiest, darkest secrets and experiences that your lineage and your ancestral line and yourself has experienced, that's how deep these lower realms go within yourself. And the highest achievements, the highest capabilities of yourself and your ancestral line in the past, the present, and the future, as high as that can go, is as high as these realms go within yourself. That's these realms. They are within you. So if NASA and all these places, they're trying to pitch to us that infinite space, you only could get through it through going through rockets and ships and all of this. No, that's not true. I believe that you can find that within yourself. You don't need a rocket to go to space. You can find it right here, right now, within you. And to attain information, to get to the North Star, the alignment of this cosmic tree within yourself, this tree of knowledge, almost like the crawling up the spinal cord of yourself, within your spirit being is a cosmic tree, and had all the information of your ancestral DNA, all of the information through all of your past lives and your ancestors' past lives, anything that's ever been thought, said, or done in that ancestral line is at the core of this holographic universe within yourself. And you can tap into that. But when you get to this tree, there are entities along the way that will try to lead you astray. There are entities that will help you, and there are entities that will also lead you off your spiritual course. Now, I feel, you know, and I'm not trying to come across like I have all the answers. I really suggest you all do your own exploring within yourself and find your own answers. I have gotten glimpses in my life and certain things that I've awakened within me from my past and my ancestors' past have given me little glimpses and my own little take on things. Now, don't take what I say as 100%, you know, do your own research, but I want to definitely intrigue you enough to do that research. That's my goal. So for me, you know, what I've experienced is that to get to the core of this knowledge, to take any information out of this holographic universe, you will first have to encounter a path. You know, you will have to go down a journey to get there. And along the way, you will encounter certain entities that will both help you and hurt you in many ways. That's why I don't suggest doing this unless you're grounded and you do some kind of energy work beforehand. Years of experience. But some of these entities that you will meet have been called the Fae and various other names along the past. Now, shamanic practices, all shamanic people, and, you know, this actually goes back in my family very, very far. I only can trace it, and I haven't really shared this with anybody else too much on too many other shows. I haven't really talked about it before, but on paper, I could basically trace my family only back to the 1600s on paper, but from oral tradition and from various things that's been passed down, it goes back to the turn of the century with Caligula. Now, I know from records that we've been able to trace back that I had an ancestor called Marietta Battaglia. Now, my dad's mother, my grandmother, her maiden name was Battaglia, and it is said that my nonny, she is named after this lady as well, and she would go by a few names. She would go by either Isabella Battaglia or Marietta Battaglia. Sometimes she even was known to go by Elisabetta or Elizabeth Battaglia. And she had a daughter, Laura, and in 1637, she was tried by the Inquisition for practicing witchcraft. Basically, she confessed to fortune-telling and palm reading and healing. And she was sentenced to basically banishment and jail for the rest of her life. And some of them were burned at the stake and many others. But the idea of this shamanic universe and the idea of this cosmic tree is even talked about in the Bible. And, you know, they – knowledge of this, especially in my family, had to go secret, had to go occult. It had to go underground because people were getting killed for this information. And, you know, to get to this tree is to pull information, to access information from this universe. And some entities do not want you to have that. Now, it's said that in our shamanic practices, in all shamanic universes, that even the North Star is the center or the axis mundi, the pivot of the sky, the point around everything else. Now, everything is revolving, right? We're spinning in a revolution of this macro spiral. So the North Star is basically like a metaphor for the cosmic center of being, you know, the cosmic center of who we are. And we take our spiritual substance directly from this center, okay? Directly from this. So our human world is constantly moving. And this center is unwavering, all right? It is unwavering. And this is where we get our information from. And these entities will try to either help you get there or hurt you get there. And, you know, you can hear what I'm saying and think it's woo-woo or whatever, but you could go to Norse legends, you can go to Etruscan legends, whatever shamanic, even aboriginals, they all talk about this, all right? This is more than just a myth. This is actually true history and true knowledge of what we can find within ourselves. And the you could call it even the world tree. Now, this cosmic tree, it's said to go through the three worlds or the three levels, the heaven, the earth, and the underworld. And in Norse legends, they had a tree called Yggdrasil. I know. I don't know if I'm even pronouncing it right, but I know the spelling. And it's said that, you know, it goes all the way down to Tartarus, which is the realm of the underworld where they have imprisoned titans. And it goes through Midgard, which is our world, and then Asgard, which is the heavenly realms. Now, it is like this in our shamanic universe. We can travel all the way to the top. And I've talked about this in another show. And, you know, and all the way to the deep roots of the underworld. And we can go all the way to the highest branches of the heaven where the gods, you know. But this tree, you know, it is also talked about in the Bible. And, you know, to me, the God I believe in, the God of everything, he is not a jealous God. So to me, the God in the Bible is not the God of everything. They're talking about something else, you know. So to me, it's really scary when people take word by word what's going on. But it's interesting because in the top of our upper world of this cosmic tree, the celestial branches, all right, according to some Slavic lore, a bird lives there, sometimes even a falcon or a nightingale or a pair of doves or some kind of magical bird, and they bring some messages down. And it's similar to the myth of the raven that I've talked about in my Eye of Ra show last week. But Earth is the mid-level, and this is where we live, of course, and it's, you know, the where we have the forests and domestic comforts and joy. But it's funny because in a lot of these shamanic portrayals, the images that they show for the mid-level for us is always usually circular, some kind of circular spiral or a ring of dancers all holding hands, It's sort of like a concept that they're trying to portray that shows human communities are all linked together somehow. It's sort of somehow in a sacred circle of harmony. And that's where the balance of our world has become wrong, is we're no longer living in this circle of harmony. And I know shamanic principles and shamanic people believe that they are at the center of this holographic universe. And for many people, it's hard to grasp that we can go there within ourselves because they're so programmed from society and they're so affected by society that they're sort of on autopilot and they can't really tap in to where this goes. But you know, my calling, and I'm going to share this with you guys, and I haven't really shared this on any of my other shows before, but you know, my true calling in this world is not to slave for a company all day long like I've been doing. My true calling, I feel, is to help humanity awaken and remember who they are, and is to battle spiritually and fight for the spiritual evolution of my family and all of us together. And I think if one by one we all start to become more spiritually aware, you'll find your own true calling. And I feel, starting as a child, I was hearing the calling. And my specific lineage are called good walkers, the Benindante. And the Benindante basically means a good walker. And I've talked about how certain nights of the year, we call the Ember Days, we will actually fall into a trance and we actually leave our bodies. And you see, this is where the danger lies. I suggest if someone wants to experience the other planes of existence, you try to go within yourself, because going out of your body is where the danger lies. But on four nights a year, it is said certain ones in my lineage will leave their body. Their physical bodies will fall into a trance, and their souls will leave their body, and they will go into the fields of Josaphat. Some call it the Elysian Fields. I know the Greeks call it the Elysian Fields. Even the Egyptians talked about certain fields, the Elysian Fields, that are beyond the underworld. A place where actually feast and joy sometimes can take place as well. It's not just a place of a valley of death. Now, this field of Josaphat is said to be filled with fragrant smelling of flowers. So roses, different smelling of flowers. And it's in your ancestral memory. Okay, certain smells of the past, certain times, it's you can lock onto the vibration of that time and place and moment, the smell that was in the air at that moment in time, the what was going on in your past life or your ancestors' past life at that moment in time. See, they all are timelines. The past, present, future is all running simultaneously. And if we're able to lock on to the vibration of that moment, we can actually tap into that place and time. And part of being a Benindante is part of tapping in to the ancestral DNA and tapping in to your ancestral memory and the ancestral realms. And, you know, these Benindante, not only are in Italy as well, there's a lot of Slavic or from northeastern Italy all the way to Slovenia. Or Slavic, Yugoslavia, that kind of area, there's tales of the Benindante. And I guess different shamanic practices and tribes have different names for them. But there is a book by Carlo Ginzburg called The Night Battles. And in this is actual courtroom testimonies of the Benindante from the Inquisition when they were being tried, and they're talking about the Ember Days. On certain nights of their year, they will fall into a trance and they can transform in the astral as dogmen and all these types of things to fight the Malindante. Now, the Malandante are dark sorcerers that are not – they're completely – the Benandante basically are spell breakers. They heal. Now, the Malandante are dark sorcerers who are collecting items. They're collecting certain things to do spells, to do certain things on the physical plane, to gain powers in the astral planes. Now, when you take materials and objects from this physical plane to gain powers on the astral planes, on the spiritual planes, it causes destruction on this realm. It will direct what you take will destroy something. So we basically, my lineage, is known for traveling into these realms to battle these Malandante who are trying to hurt the abundance of Gaia, trying to steal the fruit of the earth, trying to hurt our crops, our vineyards, our everything else. So it is said that a Benandante, if he is chosen, he will hear a beating of a drum in his dream time throughout his life. And that drum, the sound of that drum beat, will pull him into other dimensions. It will pull him into other realms. Not only the drum, but also certain smells. Now, the smell of fennel, burnt fennel, is associated with the Benandante, burning fennel. And the smell of sorghum is actually associated with the Malandante. And I've had certain dreams in my life where I was smelling burning fennel. And that fennel would pull me into another place in time. And I was dreaming that I was seeing a procession of souls walking, and they're yelling at me, telling me I don't belong here. And it, you know, so when you smell an aroma of the past from either one of your past lives or your ancestors' past lives, it can pull you into that place and time. Now, certain entities that will try to leave you off your course, and they lie beyond the fields of Josaphat. Now, they will try to lead you to another path, especially if you're trying to travel within these realms. Even if you're walking through the woods one day and you're going through a spiritual battle within yourself, that light and dark battle, you're upset, you're not sure where you're going to go in your life, you're upset with who you are, something's going on within your life, and you're really having an eternal battle, an internal battle, excuse me. So you're going through this internal spiritual battle. Now the smell, the vibration of that spiritual emotion, these entities can smell that. They can feel that. They get attracted to that. So you'll pull them into this dimension and they'll appear to you. And they'll say, oh, you're filled with misery. Well, I can take you to another land where you can be a king. Why be here filled with misery? I can bring you where you can be a king. And they'll lead you off your spiritual course. They'll take you to another realm, to another place. Now, beyond the fields, you know, there's a reflection of our wilderness, a true wilderness, a place that can be beauty, magic, and danger. And this is the place of the Fae. This where the Fae live. This is the land of the Fae. And now these Fae folk, these Fae beings, they range from benevolent to very malicious. And all of them, to some degree, can be even regarded as spirits of the dead, because they can tap into your ancestral memory. They can tap into anything that's ever been said, done, experienced in any one of your ancestors' lives. So they can mimic and replicate your great lost Uncle Joe who died in the war. And you could think you're talking to your uncle, but really it's one of these entities. And you know, in Slavic lore, I know they called the fairy from the word vili or velis, and that signifies the spirits of the dead. And it's related to the name Valinus, which is the Baltic underworld god. So, you know, even the Russian Volos as well, it all comes from this word vili or velis, and this is the term for fairy. Now, there are all types of other world inhabitants, and you know, some of them are said to even be disincarnate human entities and who were actually living beings and now living out elemental spirit lives, you know, in accordance with whatever karma they had while they were waiting their recycling or their reincarnation again in human form. They turn into these beings. Now, sometimes these Fae, or most normally these Fae are considered female, even nymphs, Now, according to Procopius, the ancient Slavs, they were really devoted to these beings. Now, the Slavs all together, they basically consider them female, nature spirits. But the gods of ancient Greece, they definitely worshipped and considered these beings like nymphs. And even tree nymphs, I think, in the Great Greek. I got to look that up, but they might have been considered tree nymphs. But it seems that they're basically considered forest, rivers, lakes, that type of worship now. But I know in certain areas of Serbia, Slavic culture now, because I know my Mika, Michelle, my significant other, her family is Slavic and Hungarian. So I've been doing a lot of Slavic research lately as well. So between the Etruscan and Italian knowledge that I have, and now adding some of the Slavic stuff that I've been researching, I'm finding a lot of connections. But usually Russians, Ukrainians, they're usually associated nymphs and fairies with the rivers, the trees. But the southern Slavs of Serbia, like Croatia, Slovenia, they see these entities as spirits of the air. So it's almost completely opposite. They regard them as spirits of the air and not of the trees and rivers and all of that. They see them as air entities in the clouds even. And now it's said that some of these fae were actually souls of young women who were very, I'll put it this way, frivolous in their lives. And after death, they kind of floated between heaven and earth, and they got stuck between realms, and they can be even seen dancing by the moonlight near graves of those who have died a violent death. Or you know, sometimes they are beautiful women and they stay forever young with very pale cheeks, and they're dressed in white, and they've got usually long blonde hair, and their power is usually vested in that hair. And if they lose one single strain of hair, they lose their power or they'll die. And according to some Slovenians, that if someone loses a single hair, one of these fae loses a single one of the hairs, they must reveal their true shape. They must reveal their true form. If anyone ever succeeds cutting or taking out a piece of that hair. Now, the bodies of these fae are as slender as pine trees and as light as birds, and they're often depicted as having wings. But now, these wings are the true misconceptions, because these fae are said to have wings, but actually because of their fast movements, because of how fast they move between dimensions and realms and in the forest, it actually appears that they have a blue flame or blue wings behind them. But actually, this blue flame is how they transport between dimensions. It's sort of some sort of technology. And the wand with the septagram that they have on top, the face star, is actually part of this technology. And some kind of blue flame appears and helps them transport. You know, I'm not sure how the technology works, but this is part of their technology. And, you know, if a man steals a few of a fae's feathers or hairs, then she must serve him, basically. And they say that she will disappear as soon as she gets her feathers or wings back or hair back. And the eyes of the fae are said to flash like lightning, and their voices are so beautiful that anyone who ever hears them will sing and remember that experience forever and will get stuck in an enchanted trance. And sometimes it's even said that the humming of bees will lull them to sleep. It will be like a sound of humming bees, and it will be some sort of hypnotic trance. Now, it's also said that any man, in fact, anyone who hears the singing of them is capable of listening for days without even eating or drinking or needing a use for nourishment. They will be stuck in an enchanted trance with not drinking or even blinking. It will be some unwavering trance, and they'll listen enchanted for days. And, you know, it's said that they are the forest basically resounds and the ground will shake when these fae battle each other, and which they often do. They'll even fight over mortal men. And we'll be back after this as we take a break and I take a glass of water. This song is called Sun Grip, which I wrote about 10 years ago. And it is by my band Bring the Dawn. And we'll be back after this. Go to themysticalspiral.com to see more, to hear more. I have a new Patreon that's live as of today. It's patreon.com/themysticalspiral. And you can get more info there. We'll be back after this. And Spiral out.
You crawl, you swallow, you bite, you spit, you shell, you crawl.
In this river of apathy, you will find me.
You smile, you bite, you spit, you shell, you crawl. You swallow, you bite, you spit, you shell, you crawl.
You speak to me in colors, your speech can paint.
And yes, I know.
Paint.
Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
So close to God, and only when things go wrong. Yeah, I hate the way you stand so close to God, and only when things go wrong. And as I feed off of this sickness, your eyes become falling wise.
Destroy your laugh, you suck in a blaze, you take the soul, you laugh.
Chasing the ashes, their souls still hard.
Suck in a blaze, you take the soul, you laugh. You suck in a blaze, you take the soul, you laugh.
I'm watching you walk across the face of the water. The water. Now I draw a circle, and you can read my words. And set the thunder with
you.
I try and hold the sun.
Listening at home, at work, or anywhere.
Thanks for making Para-X part of your day.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back, and we got a full chat room here on Para-X Radio, and I want to shout out everybody in there. There's too many to mention right now, but thank you everybody for joining. And we have a full lineup of shows here on Para-X Radio, so stick around tonight. And there's more shows coming up. And also, I'll be on the Eye of Ra tomorrow night on Truth Frequency Radio Network. And I have a new Patreon, which I just mentioned before the break, which you can check out, The Mystical Spiral. And let's get back into it. Now, these are the Fae Chronicles. So this information is usually related to something to do with the shamanic universe. And these, it's really unfortunate, too, how shaman are now kind of seen as sometimes as crazy people or kooks or whatever. But at one point, they were the center point in the community, and they were very vital to the community. And, you know, a shaman is in direct communication with our spiritual world. And the center of this world is this tree, which is the center point. You know, it's the root of who we are. It's where we get our ancestral knowledge from. Now, in Siberia, they perform certain rituals to the sky world, or the ascent to the sky world. And every family usually go through two or three nights, and they'll take like trees and put certain notches in the tree, and it's to represent the different worlds. And it's interesting too how we have seven planes of existence. And I was thinking, either we have even seven layers to our atmosphere, and we even have seven spheres of influence in our physical world, right? So it's interesting how the seven worlds are always depicted in various ways. And this practice is interesting too, because it also encounters a drum that I mentioned. And usually shaman, different people can invoke spirits or invite them through the celestial journey by invoking them through a drum, or the sound of a drum. And also it's said that a shaman will ride his celestial journey on this drum. I know that a prolonged sound drumming summons and it concentrates energies. And sometimes this is needed to enter this spiritual world. It will concentrate the energy. It'll summon you and it'll put you in a trance. And the drum is basically the shaman's most important possession. And even the wooden frame usually is seen to be was made at one time from a supreme god. In Siberian lore, the Altaic shamans, in fact, they see it as made by a supreme god, and they call it Bay Uldigin. And it's known as it fell from this cosmic tree. There's the wood from this drum that they use is from this cosmic tree, and it is up this tree that he will carry it with him. And usually the sound of drumming will be your calling as a Benendante. You will hear the calling of a drum. And the Benendante lineage, the Good Walkers, are said to have this calling usually from the time they're 20 years old to the time they're 40. And usually some type of fierce battle will take place at around 40 years of age, where you'll have a decision to make. And if you live through that battle, you can either continue for the rest of your life or stop right there as one of these Benendantes. And I know that there is certain rules as well. If you're never to know the faces of the other members of the Benendante in their physical body, and if you do encounter one day and you come to understand that he is one of the ones that you've met in spirit form, you're never supposed to reveal that and there will be fatal consequences to that. So in the Inquisition, when the Ben and Dante were talking about their experiences, they would only mention what they did themselves. They would never give up anybody else's name. Now, to get back to these fae and some of these entities that we encounter on our spiritual mission to this cosmic tree, I mentioned before, I don't want to get off too, of course, that some of the southern Slavs of Serbia and Croatia, Slovenia, that area, they regarded these fae as spirits of the air or the clouds, and that they live in the clouds. Now, these beings are said to sit among the whiteness sleeping, singing, dancing, causing winds and storms, and they have eagles for their helpers. And sometimes they take the shape of birds and descend to earth to prophesize the future or help people. Now, they are also said to come and prophesize doom and hurt people at the same time. So there is always the light and dark in all of these entities, but any kind of contact, I feel there is sort of a price. And they also are said to live in the stars and mountains and all of these different realms that they inhabit. But the ones that live in mountains and thick trees and caves and ravines and forests, they are said to have magnificent castles in other realms that they can take you or make you king as. And sometimes they are seen as riding horses or stags, or they can chase deer with a special arrow of energetic, almost like a cupid, where they can infect people with a poisonous arrow and put them in a trance. Now, they also are said to kill men who defy them and perch on trees, and they are inseparably united. They stay together, united inseparably. And fairies, fae in the past are said to like entice the shepherds and singers, or just young guys who are very creative and artistic, or like to dance. And they can either give you great happiness or great misfortune, depending on their specific mood. And, you know, it's also even said that their fairy grounds, their dancing grounds, can be recognized by areas of thick rings in deep grass, which makes me think of crop circles and inner earth technology. Now, these fae technically do reside in inner earth, right? The another realm within our earth. And it's possibly that some of these benevolent fae, the good ones, are putting some of these sacred geometries in crop circles, in thick rings and deep grass, to activate certain energies, healing energies on our physical plane and within our consciousness, awaken ancient coding in our genetic structure to help us heal the negative energy on Earth. And I think that's where these crop circles are coming from. They're actually an inner Earth technology, a plasma technology that are linked to these entities. And it's said that even in Slovenia, in very ancient times, that people lived in peace and goodwill, and the fields produced all by themselves because the fae were closer to humankind and helped to harvest crops and feed cattle and build houses and plow and all and do everything that that you would do in yard work and field work and harvesting. But they also are said that if you don't leave an offering or pay them respect, that they will get malicious. They will hurt your crops. So that's why I don't really recommend encounters with them, because you never know what you're going to get. It's like rolling the dice. But what's interesting, and it's very fitting us this being Christmas time, is that if you ever go to a forest or a wooded area and you see trees, and I've experienced this, if you see a lot of trees with strings hanging for them, or ribbons hanging from the trees, or trinkets hanging from the trees, or stuffed animals in the trees, or offerings on rocks or in the trees, little rocks offerings, this is offerings for the fae. This is offerings to keep peace with the Fae. Now, to hang a tree, an ornament on a tree, is paying respect to the Fae, to the fairies. When people hang ornaments on Christmas trees, they are actually paying respect to the Fae and actually saying, hey, I want to stay in peace with you. You know, I'm paying respect to you. Here's an offering. Here's a little trinket, a little shiny ribbon. You know, this is actually respect to the Fae and to the fairy folk. And I thought that's very interesting, this being Christmas time. And, you know, it's very there's a lot of intense lore that goes along with them. It's also said that, you know, at one time we lived in great peace with these Fae entities. And I believe that kind of we're the aliens on this planet, that these Fae are a normal condition of our world, that we were actually put here and changed. And they're more normal to our environment than we are. And I actually think, and I'll to go down a whole different path, and I'll do a whole nother show on this, that I believe that our world ended a long time ago, maybe hundreds of years ago or more, and that our sun was actually replaced with possibly an artificial intelligence sun, and it's simulating and recreating everything, and we are all recreations of what once was, and some kind of simulated experience. And the sun, everything depends on the sun, right? So the sun can create anything it wants if the sun is some type of solar machine. And I feel there's something to that, but that's a whole nother can of worms to open up. So we'll do a whole nother show on that one day. But it is it's said, though, that we lived in peace with these fae for a while. But when humans started to become evil and war started to happen, that's when these fae became more scarce in our dimension, and now only a few mortals will ever see them dancing in the fields or sitting on a barren rock or deserted cliff. And sometimes you can hear them singing mournfully, it's said. And in Slovenia, it's also said that a fae may become a mortal man's sister, and that every young boy or honest man has a fae for a sister who helps him in time of need. And in fact, certain animals like deer, mountain goats, also are favored with fae siblings. And fae are said to help their brothers in times of danger, bless their property, and even give them gifts. And sometimes a man will marry one, and she can make a great wife even, but the man must never remind her of her descent into mortal world, or she'll disappear and return only to watch over the children she left behind. And fae children are frequently given to mortal women to raise, and are said to be amazingly clever star children with wonderful memories of their past. And there's a few Slovenian ways of actually honoring these fae. And it's funny because the best known fae woman in Slovenia or Slavic folklore are known as the Rusalki. Now, the Rusalki are nymphs of river and tree who in Slavic folklore, or actually Slavic shamanic history, they have a sort of category all on their own. Now, their bewitching image has shown many different portrayals over the years. Now, I've found certain Russian writers, some of them, Lermontov, Gogol, Turgenev, Pushkin, a few of these Russian writers that I've researched and I found information from, and I found very different bewitching images of material of these Rusalki. Now, Rusalki were once worshipped as goddesses in the ancient Slavic folklore, and there's a major folk festival that's in present day now that's celebrated in their honor. And it's actually said that when a woman drowns, now check this, when a woman drowns, whether by accident or on purpose, or when a female child dies unbaptized, she becomes a Rusalka. Now, along the Danube and the Dnieper, the Rusalki are thought of as gracious maidens. And this is along the rivers, the Danube River and the Dnieper River. And the faces of these Rusalki are said to be pale white like the moon, and they wear robes of mist or green leaves, and even a white robe sometimes without a belt, a swaying robe. And their hair is usually green or soft brown, and they're decorated with flowers. Now, they're both aquatic and sylvan, and usually the Rusalki weak at the beginning of summer, and they live in the water in crystal palaces next to the Naga, and they may be approached by paths strewn with gold and silver gravel, sort of like the yellow brick road that you see in The Wizard of Oz. And at Whitsuntide, they emerge from the rivers and go into the woods and meadows and fields as spirits of the dead. And it was natural for them to live in the green trees. And Slavic beliefs regard them as homes of the departed. Now, when the sun has not yet entered the abode of summer, the Rusalki can remain underwater the whole time. But when the waters start to warm by the rays of the life-giving summer light, they have to return to the trees, to the houses of the dead. Now, a forest where the Rusalki live is usually said to have magic. The waters will cure diseases. Now, this magical well is said to be only seen for people that are worthy of the well. And a forest where these Rusalki live are said to have this well that will appear, and it will cure people's diseases if they're sort of, if they are credible enough, or if they are worthy of the curing, you know. So these waters rise and foam when the Rusalki leave their homes at night, and they dance on the shore and drown young men who happen to be bathing there. Now, if they see a man on the opposite side of the stream, they can even grow so big as to step across the stream with one step, and they have to dance by moonlight with wandering shepherds and other young village boys, as with fairy women generally in the thicker grass, and these men will go missing for days, even though it feels like only moments that they were dancing with these beings. And you know, it's said that some of the village boys became lovers of these Rusalki, and in fact, the Rusalki are jealous of mortal women, and a man may even capture one in a magic circle and take her home and marry her, but she will disappear again during Whitsuntide, going back to the trees. And in northern Russia now, the Rusalki were sometimes seen as wicked girls, unattractive with disheveled hair, not the beautiful Rusalki and enchanting Rusalki of the other Slavic tales. Now, they were naked, cadaverous. They looked like drowned corpses, and their eyes sort of would show with like evil green fire. And they brutally seized anyone who was foolish enough to walk by the water's edge late at night. And they will torture their victims and pull them to a watery death. And, you know, that's very similar to what the Kappa does in Japan, but that is more sort of like a reptilian type of being. And, you know, these dark Rusalki, they ruined the fishermen's nets. They will ruin things. And sometimes they sent down storms and torrential rains. And on summer nights, they swam to the surface, bathed and splashed water at each other. And they like to sit on the mill wheel, and splash each other, then diving deep away. And it's said that groups of them live in lonely places by the rivers or in deep waters or under the rapids. And they stole linen and thread from sleeping women who were said to be fond of spinning and hanging their yarn on trees. So, you know, the offerings on the trees, and some of these women who were spinning and weaving yarn, they would hang their yarn on trees, and these Rasalki or Faye would steal this linen from these while these women were sleeping, and they would, you know, use it as their in their homes in their deep waters. And after weaving their linen, they washed it and left it on the riverbanks to dry. And if a man were to tread on such a linen, he became weak and diseased and sick. And in general, the more positive ones, the ones that they worship at this festival and pay respects to at this festival, usually come when the summer begins. And, you know, that's why I don't think it would be wise to have an encounter with any of these beings, because like I said, you're rolling the dice. And, you know, yeah, it's sort of like water babies, like they're saying in the chat, you know. But it's interesting that in some parts of Russia, they still pay a lot of respects. And even in our daily lives now, we're usually – some of our traditions and folklore are based around these fae. We don't even realize it. And in some parts of Russia, people go into the woods on Thursdays and preceding Whit Sunday, and they sing ancient songs and pick flowers, and they bound wreaths. And the whole idea of the wreath is paying respects to the fae. And young men would cut down birch trees, which the girls dressed in women's robe, decorating with bright ribbons and pieces of cloth. This is all fae honoring. And, you know, festive songs, putting offerings to Santa, like cookies and milk, all of these are fae offerings. This is all ideas of the fae that were pagan beliefs that, you know, Catholics and Christians took. And, you know, it's interesting, but these fae chronicles are endless, and I can go down a lot of different pathways with this. I mean, it's pretty crazy, because, you know, these Rasalki, you know, are even not only spirits inhabiting lakes and pools and rivers and all the bodies of water, but the water of life must be balanced by the water of death. And the male spirit of the waters that they call the Von Yanai are dangerous and malevolent. And they are said to be and I don't know if I'm butchering the word or not, but the Vodonai, and I got 2 minutes, they are spelled Vodyanoi. Now, they are said to be amazing and marvelous shapeshifters, and some of them have human faces, but they have outlandish, huge, big toes or paws and long horns and tails and eyes like burning coals, black eyes, like black-eyed children, and others look like hung men covered with grass and moss or slime. You know, sometimes they are black with enormous red eyes and noses as long as a fisherman's boot. So these are all entities that we need to be aware of if we're trying to access this shamanic universe and this cosmic tree. And these are the Fae Chronicles, and this is Spiral Radio. And we'll be back next week at 8 p.m. here on Para X. Thank you guys for joining me. It was a beautiful time. I want to thank my producer, Sarge, everybody in the chat room, everybody out there listening on the web, and everybody on Podomatic and wherever you're going to hear this, tune in or whatever. Thank you for listening and for supporting me. Go to the patreon.com/themysticalspiral to support me, and you can find me at themysticalspiral.com. We'll see you next time, and spiral out. Inside the pyre.
your iris, all of envy. And when you leave, I don't want to take my eyes off of the sky.